this working? Oh. Is this working? Ah, here we go. Hello, for those of you who are here, I'm going to talk a little bit about Whitewater. You're going to have to excuse me on two things. The first thing is this thing, you guys can hear me, right? The first thing is I've been running my mouth for 3 days, so I'm kind of losing my voice. So very sorry about that if I croak from time to time. The main thing is that the title of this talk perhaps was a little bit like clickbait. Why did the Whitewater industry crash? It's a bit harsh. I think a better way of addressing this is, how do we revive and rejuvenate the Whitewater industry? How do we take, and it applies to all kayaking really across the board, but how do we take the situation that the Whitewater industry is in currently and make it something that is profitable for dealers, for manufacturers, for rental operations, for everybody? How do we sustain this industry? Because in my opinion, it's not sustainable where we currently are. So let me use an example of where I'm going with this. In 1999, the retail price on a kayak was $1,000. With the devaluation of money with inflation over time, $1,000 in 1999 is $1,475 today. Let's just say $1,500 to make it nice and easy. So, now let's think back to what a kayak looked like in 1999. It was a plastic shell with a plastic seat and a plastic thigh brace and a foam wall in the front of the back and either a pedal footrest or some kind of very rudimentary bulkhead footrest. And if you were lucky, hip pads, which are just cut mini cell. The outfitting in a boat in 1999 was about 10% of the cost of the kayak. Now, the outfitting in a whitewater kayak is about 60% of the cost of a kayak. If we built kayaks today and sold them today exactly the way they were built in 1999, the normal retail price of a kayak should be $1,500. They're $1,100, $1,200. We're not going to worry about the show right now because it's changing today a little bit. But we're sitting at $1,200 retail price on a product which has gone up in manufacturing cost by 50 to 60% and is selling for 30% less than it did in 1999. And we wonder why nobody can make any money. The manufacturers are not making money, and the dealers are not making money. And if you're not making money, you can't spend money to grow the sport, to maintain the sport, to expand the sport, to bring in new people. And we can point at all kinds of things about why this is happening. Are people spending their money on tablets and iPhones and in video games, and they're not getting out into the outside world? Well, sure, that's there, it's a little bit. Do people not have the money to spend? Simply people have less money now than they had before? I'd argue no. You know how many people who tell me that a kayak at $1,500 is too expensive, who have $4,000 mountain bikes on their cars? It's madness. $10,000 worth of kiteboarding equipment, $5,000 worth of ski equipment. Of your kayaks, man, $1,200 for a kayak, that's a lot of money. No, it's not. So, and this is a round table discussion, if you like. I don't have all the answers to all the questions of what went wrong, and I certainly don't have all the answers to all the solutions. But this is something that I have been thinking about now for a number of years, that I've been researching, and I've been trying to find out some underlying causes, and at least begin the discussion of how we fix this. And I want to emphasize the we. We are partners. The manufacturers and the retailers are partners. And if you look at it any other way, failure is a given. We have to figure out how to work together to make this industry sustainable and to grow it. And that's the next key point. We're getting to the point now, even though we're seeing new growth in whitewater. So we had a crash in about 2004 where literally the bottom dropped out of whitewater. It evaporated. Everybody went kiteboarding or they went and had babies. And it just ended overnight. I would go to the Lachine Rapids in 2003 at any time of any day of the week, from sun up to sundown, and have to contend with 30 to 50 kayakers sitting in an eddy to take a ride. In 2015, when I moved back to Montreal, I could go to Lachine's at any time of the day, any day of the week, and never see one other kayaker for 2 to 3 weeks. Not one. That's a problem. It's a real problem. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that, and we're going to call them the tribe. This is not my word for it. This is Dirk Sorensen, who gave a talk yesterday morning at breakfast. The tribe, those are the people who've been in kayaking since the beginning of all time. They were kayaking in the 80s or the 90s. These are the people who are somewhat responsible for keeping the retail price of a kayak hovering around $1,000. A kayak has always been $1,000. Ever since I started kayaking, they were $1,000. That's the natural price for a kayak. It's $1,000. They're $1,200 now. That's gone up $200 since I started kayaking. Yes, but inflation, they should be $1,500. And that's assuming that they're outfitted the way your RPM was outfitted when you bought it in 1998. And they're not. So for me, if you have disposable income, if you're making a profit, you have the ability to invest money in growing kayaking in your area. I had a retail store in Montreal that was selling surfboards and surf classes from 2006 to 2010. And I was buying product at $200 and retailing it at $600. I'm making three times my money on a surfboard. And because I was making so much money on a surfboard, once a month, on a Saturday or a Sunday, depending on what the weather was going to be, I would have a barbecue down at the river next to the wave. And I would spend $1,000 on that day, two employees, two barbecues, beers, other booze, burgers, all kinds of stuff, cooking up food for people who were and who were not my customers. The surfers down to the wave. People would go surfing on that day because they knew there was going to be a barbecue. I announced it on my website. And there would be more surfers at the wave that day than any other day. People walking past would see this hoo-ha going on with surfboards and people in board shorts and bikinis and wetsuits everywhere, and barbecues cooking, and people drinking beer, and they would come up and ask what this was. Oh, hello, would you like to take a surf class? People who were not my customers, who were not buying boards from me, were coming to my store to buy wax, or a leash, or a bag, and eventually a board. And then they would put their wife or their friend in one of my surf classes. And I grew the sport of surfing in Montreal. And in 2006, when I started surfing in Montreal, there were five or six of us surfing in the waves there. By 2009, at any given time, on any given day, there were 50 to 100 people standing in the eddy in the lineup. At that point, it was no longer that popular with all the other surfers, because now there's 100 people in the lineup. My point was that I had disposable income. When you're making three times the money on your cost of goods, or two times the money of your cost of goods, if you're doubling your money, you have disposable income. I could educate my shop employees. When people came in asking questions about boards, they could give good answers. And I could keep these employees because I could pay them more than the bare minimum. So I could take the time to educate them so that they knew what they were talking about, so that they knew how to take someone who walks into my store, who's seen a surfboard in Costco, and turn that person into a surfer and walk out of my store with one of my boards. Because if the answer is, what's the difference between your board and Costco? If the answer is, I suppose it depends what brand you like, you're never gonna sell a board. Big Box is not my enemy. Big Box is not our enemy. Big Box is our friend. And the reason why Big Box is our friend is because Big Box is selling tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of kayaks to people at $399. And if you sell 300,000 kayaks at $399, and 5% of those people come walking into your retail store to buy a dry bag because they want to do something, and they tell you they're going to go do something, and your sales staff are educated, and they say, oh, where are you going paddling? Oh, I'm going to go on such and such a river. Oh, really? What kind of boat do you have? Oh, I got a Pelican from Costco for $399 with the paddle. Nice boat. Are you taking it on any rivers? No. Well, why not? Oh, no, I suppose you can't really. It's the wrong boat for that. Do you want to go on rivers? I'd like to. Let me show you something over here. Boom, he's yours. You got it. But that's a lot of effort if you're making 20 points or 30 points. When your investment in the kayak is $1,000 or $900 and you're selling for $1,200 and you haven't paid for shipping yet and you haven't paid for your lights and your doors, and the manufacturer's not ripping you off because they're also only making 15 points. Why aren't the manufacturers today sponsoring events like they were in the mid-90s? I mean, you guys, a lot of you guys were around in the mid-90s when the circus was going. And every event, there was an event every single weekend, almost everywhere in the world where there was whitewater. And there were free boats and free helmets and free life jackets and raffles and all these things. And those events could use that money to draw in new people. Tourists, people walking around would see this kayaking event. And if just 5% of those people came walking into the store and said, hey, what's this out here? I'd like to take a kayak class. But if the manufacturers are making 10%, they can't send their pro paddlers and their reps to your store to do a demo day for you for free. How many of you guys remember back in the mid-90s when the manufacturers would go from store to store around the country, hosting demo days, popping up a tent, all their kayaks? The manufacturers would have $300,000 of demo boats out in the marketplace at any given time because they were making 30, 40 points, and you were making 30, 40 points. The natural retail price for a whitewater kayak today should be about $2,500. That's what a kayak should sell for, a whitewater kayak. We're at $1,200. That is a problem that is not sustainable. And where this is going to lead us is the non-existence of any whitewater kayaks. When Confluence shuts down Perception and Wave Sports, because they don't need three companies losing money, one's enough. That's a sign of things to come. Perception made great boats. Wavesport made great boats. They're gone. Why? Because they were losing money. Something to the tune of 800 specialty whitewater dealers in the United States in the late 1990s. I think we're lucky if we could count 100 now, maybe 150, because it's not sustainable. So we need to start to drag up the retail price of boats. This is something you can't do overnight. You can't just show up and throw a $200,000, $500 price tag on a boat and expect the tribe to suck it up and eat it. They're not going to do that. So how do we do this? I don't have all the answers of how we do this. It needs to be a progression. We know that for sure. But we also need to remember that the tribe, these people who've been around forever, are not going to be around forever. They're slowly going to disappear as they age and as they move out. If there's nothing behind that, we're done as an industry. So that's a real concern. But the people coming in don't have an appreciation of what a kayak should sell for. If you can tell them a story about the R&D that goes into a boat, about the quality, about how these boats are made, when you compare them to the $399 boat in Costco, and everything that goes into these things, and you can show them videos and photos, and not of people running 100-foot waterfalls, that's just going to scare them. I'm talking about families going down a river in class three with big smiley faces. You're going to have a good time. You're going to take your wife. You're going to take your kids. You're going to go with your friends. You're going to go with your school friends down a river. And you start to tell them the story. They don't have an appreciation of what this price should be, of what a boat value is. And there's going to be pushback from the tribe. There's going to be pushback. But I'm going to give you an example. In 2017 to 2018, Soul kayaks were $1,200. In 2018, I grew by about 30%, and I made the same amount of money that I did in 2017. In 2018, I wasn't at the show, but at the same time the show was going on, I took the price of my boats, and I went from $1,200 to $1,500 overnight. I jumped it by $300. In 2019, I've sold 0% more boats than I sold in 2018. But I doubled my money, and that's the key. It's just as hard to sell somebody a boat for $1,200 as it is to sell the boat for $1,500. It's no more work if you know how to do it, and you make more money. And if you make more money, you can do things like, in my case, I can come to the show. I couldn't come to the show before. I didn't make enough money. Now here I am. It's the same thing for dealers. If you're making 32 points, 33 points, you can't sustain a retail operation. Most of you who are retailers, I'm sure, are making your money selling North Face jackets in your store, not selling kayaks. Kayaks are the draw. Kayaks are what bring people into the store, and you want to sell a North Face jacket. But if you could make 50, 60 points on a $1,500 or a $2,000 kayak, you're making $1,000 every time you sell a kayak. Now we're talking about something. You can afford to take 200 of that, of every kayak you sell, and have a barbecue. Have free demos. Educate your sales staff. Pay them more than minimum wage. It costs money to educate sales staff. If you're paying them $7.50 an hour, as soon as something else comes along, they're out of here. But if you're paying them $15 an hour, that's a great job. It sure beats McDonald's, and they're gonna stick around. And the longer they work there, the more they know, the better they come at selling product. They can only do that if you can pay them a decent salary. You can only do that if you're making money. So this is a round table discussion. I don't have, like I said, I don't have all the answers to this. I don't have all the answers of how do we deal with the kickback from the tribe, the resistance from the tribe. Clearly, as I've just demonstrated, it's at least going to 1,500 from 1,200, it wasn't significant. Did I not grow in sales numbers because my boats went to 1,500? Or did I not grow in sales numbers because other people came out with boats that compete with mine, the designs that I currently have? Did other people come out with a boat that's as good as the boats that I was selling, and therefore my sales didn't grow? I don't have the answer to that. But I know that I doubled my money in 2019 that I had in 2018 without selling a single extra boat. So the tribe, do we, when somebody comes in that you know has been paddling for 15 years and the boat's at $2,000, or let's say for right now it's at $1,500, do you say to them, look buddy, we've known each other for years, you know, I'll give you 15%, don't worry about it, man, we're good. You can give them 15%, you're making 50. You can give them 15%, still make 35, you're still laughing. In my opinion, I think the way to start this is to start to bring up the retail price of boats and to give the lion's share of that increase to the dealer right now. Because the dealer network, in my opinion, is the first thing that has to be saved. Most of the manufacturers have, if there's a real plan, they have the ways, they have the means to sustain, and they've been losing money for 15, 20 years, they can lose it for three more. The dealers, not so much. In my case, that's what I've done. So my wholesale price in 2019 is exactly the same as it was in 2018, but my retail price went from 1,200 to 1,500, which means that my margin went from 40% to 60%. Okay, you add shipping to that, you add some other things to that, you're making 50%. Nonetheless, the point is still there. At 35%, you're still gonna add your shipping and everything else, and now you're at 28. How do we bring the price up after that? Do we increase it by $100 a year? Do we only make the new boats of each year more expensive? So I come up with a new model next year, and that's at 1,600, but the old boats are at 15. The following year, all the old boats are at 16, and the new boats are 17. I would like to see us, at least in the next 4 or 5 years, get the retail price of a whitewater kayak to about $2,000. It's not $2,500, where it should be, but it's $2,000. So let's circle back to this number, because we're going, okay, this is a lot of money. It seems like this is money that people are not gonna spend on a kayak. Let's look at mountain bikes. Now, mountain biking does not have all the answers. They've got their own problems. But one thing that is telling from the mountain bike that we can use, which is very interesting, and this is why I say big box are not your enemy. These are not real numbers. I'm just going to use these to illustrate a point. Let's say the mountain biking industry, Costco, Walmart, Dick's, the big boxes, are moving 10 million bikes a year at $700. $700 full suspension mountain bike. Okay, not a bad bike, nice bike. Then you go from there and you say, well, what's the upgrade from the $700 bike? Well, that's the $1,500 bike. Good luck finding a $1,500 mountain bike nowadays. That segment of the market is almost dried up. You jump from $700 to $2,700. And the reason for that is because there isn't a discernible difference in performance from a $1,500 mountain bike from a $700 mountain bike. If you're just riding around on the street, you don't need a $1,500 mountain bike. If you're at a mountain bike mountain where you're bumming down hills, the $1,500 mountain bike is not going to do it. It's not going to cut it. And you don't really notice the difference. But you jump on the $2,700 mountain bike, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, it's light, the components work, that you can feel the flex in the frame, the way it's moving around. Everything just works. And so the customer is motivated to spend the extra money. I know for a fact that that $2,700 mountain bike, in fact, I know for a fact that the $4,000 mountain bike does not cost much more than my kayak. Because one of the factories that I work with in Asia makes carbon fiber mountain bikes. I can't tell you the brand name, but they make carbon fiber mountain bikes. And I can tell you that the cost of that mountain bike is $150 more than my kayak. My kayak retails for $1,500 and that mountain bike retails for $3,900. That mountain bike manufacturer has at any given time $1 million of mountain bikes in demos out in the industry for people to try and people to ride. Incorporated into their cost, so that even if the cost of their mountain bike is $700, they're allocating $200 to marketing and advertising. They're allocating $200 of demo fleet. They're allocating $200 of dealer education. This is all part of their cost of goods, the way they calculate it. And the end result is that their cost on a mountain bike really is now closer to $1,200, $1,300, not the actual sales price. But we don't do that in kayaking because we can't. And until we start doing that, we're not going to grow like the mountain bike industry. Now, everybody can ride a bicycle, not everybody's going to whitewater kayak. We know that. But the rec and touring kayak industry is suffering from the same problem as the whitewater. This is not unique to whitewater. Why can't people sell $600 rec boats or $700 rec boats? Because there's no discernible, in a specialty store, there's no discernible difference between a $700 rec boat and a $300 rec boat. They're pretty much the same thing. But the $1,500, $1,600 rec boats are doing just fine because there is a difference. You look at the Bonafides and these other really, really nice rec boats. They're not a Pelican. And people do step up to buy those boats. So we can do this. What we need to do, and we need to pull in the other manufacturers, and I don't know how we do this, I don't know where we do this. The manufacturers need to sit down and figure out how we're going to do this. Now, vertical price setting and horizontal price fixing, it's illegal in the U.S. You can't do that. But we can have a discussion of how we save an industry. We can have a discussion of how should we calculate margins. Should our sale price be based on what the cost of goods, or should it be based on what we actually feel we can sell a kayak for, and then work backwards from there? So everybody else does it. Why are we doing it based on cost of goods? So this is a starting point. I've made the jump, and the good news is Jackson is now $1,400. Piranha is $1,380. Liquid Logic has stepped up by a couple hundred dollars. I'm not sure what there is. But as a result of I jumped up to $1,500 and everybody was at $1,100 or $1,200, everybody's kind of gone up $200 this year. Fantastic. That's a good start. And they've done it a bit different from me. If you were making 35 points with them before, you're still making 35 points, but you're making 35 points in $1,400, not 35 points in $1,200. So your dollar take home is higher, and that's important. It's not just the margin point. It's actually your dollar take home. So it's a start. So like I said, when I started this, I had notes, and I forgot them in Montreal, so I've been kind of rambling. And I don't have all the solutions. But I want us to start as an industry to have a discussion of how we pull up our bootstraps and how we move this industry forward. And it has to be a King Arthur situation where we are partners, where you are the dealers, are working with us, the manufacturers, that the manufacturers get together and talk, that the dealers get together and talk. That just because the product is now $1,600 or $1,700 and you're making 50 points on this, that somebody doesn't go, well, I don't need to make 50 points, and they start discounting, because then the whole thing crashes. So there needs to be an understanding. Like I said, you can't horizontal price fixing. So dealers cannot legally talk amongst themselves and all agree to maintain a price. But there can be an understanding that it is unnecessary to use discounting as a means of attracting customers versus using education of shop employees and education of a customer to sell them a product which at $2,000 is already undervalued. To get that message across. At $2,000, this boat is undervalued. It should be $2,500. It's not. So when you ask me for a discount, my answer is I can't discount this boat to you. It's already discounted down from what the natural price of a kayak should be. Again, this is a discussion. This is an idea. We need to do this. Now, I don't know how. I don't know what the format is that we do this. And like I said, we have to tread lightly because vertical and horizontal price fixing is illegal. Can't do that. The one thing that manufacturers can do is they can say to you, the retail price of my boat is $1,500. I'm going to give you back, when you buy a boat from me, I'm going to give you back 1% of what you gave me for advertising my product in your store. As soon as I pay for your advertising, I'm allowed to tell you what to sell the product for. I'm paying for the ad. This is how much I want you to put the retail price at. So here's 1% from what you gave me back. The retail price is $1,500. That's the price you sell the boats for. That is legal. Horizontally, can't do that. But that can come out of the manufacturers. This is our price. You do not discount. 3 times a year, you can discount. Labor Day, Veterans Day, whatever. Pick them. Doesn't matter. Each store decides. Again, these are just ideas. But we have to do something, because I'll tell you the road that we're going down now. How many people in this room used to have to make their own boat in 1972? You pull them on. I know you probably did. But when I started kayaking, you couldn't buy a kayak. It didn't exist. There was no such thing as a retail store. There was no such thing as a manufactured kayak. You want to go kayaking? You find an old mold. You go to the hardware store, you buy fiberglass, you buy resin, you get paintbrushes, you find a barn or a garage, and you build your boat. That's where we're going. That's the direction that this sport is going, this industry is going. Because how much longer are Confluence going to keep losing money on Dagger Whitewater? How much longer is EJ going to look at, sales in Whitewater are declining, I'm losing money on Whitewater, and I'm making 300% on coolers. And every time I put a Whitewater kayak in an oven, I'm not making a cooler. How long do you think it's going to be before he says, nah, I'm done? That's where this is going. So, not in the next 2 years, but I would say in the next 10. Because the fact of the matter is that we went from 800 dealers to 150 dealers in 15 years. We went from 2 dozen kayak brands to a little over half a dozen. I mean, big players. I mean, there's a couple of small ones out there, and I put myself in that small player thing. But it's not sustainable. Okay, sure, you could say, well, if they're all gone, then a small player like maybe myself or someone else would be like, well, it's all mine. The whole pie is mine, and that's a possibility. But is that really what you want? Is that our future where your choice of kayaks was 1984, where you could get your Dancer in blue or red or yellow? Those are your options. There's only one model, and it's in 3 colors. That is literally where this is going. So this is just what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to stimulate the beginning of a conversation. That's all this is. That's what this talk is here, which is why I had a bit of an alarmist headline. And when you're talking to your other suppliers, when you're talking to Jackson, when you're talking to Piranha, when you're talking to Dagger, have this conversation with them. What are we going to do? How do we get the retail price of these boats up? How do we get my margins up? How do we make it so that I'm making money and you're making money? Because I'm not making money. I sold 30 of your boats last year. And you know how much money I made off your boats? None. I lost money. I made money selling North Face jackets. Want to know why I'm hesitant about buying 30 more boats this year? Because I didn't make any money last year. How are we going to fix this? Have this conversation with your suppliers. And it's not just the kayaks, it's the other stuff too. I mean, the guys who are making soft goods, some of them are making okay money, and some of you guys are making Keystone on soft goods, but that's also getting harder because of Internet Direct. It's not a problem with kayaks, it costs too much to ship a kayak. So it's not a big problem. But why are you going to a store to buy a helmet? You can buy it online. It costs $10 to ship. So again, these are conversations even with the soft goods suppliers to be having. You know, if you're only making money on North Face jackets, you're not even making money on paddle tops anymore, we've got a real problem. And that is where it's going from the dealers that I'm talking to. It's like, it didn't really matter that I wasn't making a whole lot of money on kayaks because I was making a killing on spray skirts and helmets. But now I'm not making money on kayaks and I'm not selling spray skirts and helmets anymore. You got people who were selling 100 helmets at full retail 5 years ago and they're lucky they sell 10 at discounted now. Why? Because you can buy it online. Cheap. You can buy it from Alibaba or AliExpress. You know, kayak helmet, AliExpress. Boom. Oh, look, $12. Great. I'll buy one because, you know, I don't know what my head's worth. Why? So it's getting harder and harder in soft goods to fill the hole that kayaking has left. And interestingly, I think that actually it's going to end up being the hard good. It's going to be the kayak that's going to keep the retail store alive. Not the helmet and the life jacket and the spray skirt, which traditionally be in the item. You go back 10, 15 years. You know, get them in with the kayak, make your 20 points, sell them a spray skirt and a life jacket at 100 points. You know, at Keystone. Yay. Great. That's gone. Talk to your suppliers. Talk to the kayak manufacturers when you're out there. Say, hey, listen, what can we do? How, you know, what can we do together? I'm going to try and get the other manufacturers together. I'm going to try and talk to them. I'm going to try and bring them in. I'm going to try and create this conversation. But it has to be a partnership. It has to be the dealers talking to them. It has to be the dealers talking amongst yourselves. You know that other dealer down across town that you hate? Sit down, have a beer, talk to him. He's not your enemy, he's your friend. The other dealer across, you know, the other town over, he's not your enemy, he's your friend. Whether he's selling the same brand as you or he's selling the brand that you sell against, that's between you and the retail customer. Ah, those Liquid Logic boats. No, the Jackson here is way better. Yeah, that's the conversation you have with your customer. But the conversation you have with the dealer who's selling Liquid Logic is, hey buddy, how can you make more money on Liquid Logic and I make more money on my Jacksons? Are there any questions? Not that I have any answers. If that was too fast, I'm sorry. We have some dealers from Japan here, and maybe I was talking too fast. So, unless somebody has any questions, I'm going to leave it at that. But what I wanted to do was get you guys stimulated to talk to your suppliers, to bring this stuff up, to tell them, look, I want to work with you. We got to get this price up. I need to make more money. You need to make more money. How do we do this? That's it.